Today, markets trying to make sense of the senseless. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, and that is Post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. And it's been another complex week with the interplay of tariffs, central bank non-decisions, and company reports, plus the witching trades on Friday, all adding to the mix. Never-ending market disruptions are upending investment blueprints everywhere in 2025, while hitting sentiment across US stocks in particular. This week, the Fed, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Japan all left interest rates unchanged as they assess the economic impact of US President Donald Trump's trade tariffs against global trading partners. Many of the world's major central banks sent a strong message this week, though, that the uncertainty caused by Donald Trump's trade wars are weighing on growth, stoking inflation, and dramatically reducing the visibility of interest rates ahead. Plus, there are signs that big money is fleeing US equities in search of better returns elsewhere, as money managers slash their allocations to American stocks at a record pace over the month. Yet, in a note, Bank of America's strategist Michael Harnett says, monster equity inflows since the US November presidential election suggest that no one really believes trade wars will lead to a recession or even a bear market. Well, we'll see about that. In an early morning social media post, Trump said that April the 2nd would be Liberation Day for the US. For decades, we have been ripped off and abused by every nation in the world, both friend and foe. Now it is finally time for the good old US to get some of that money and respect back. Actually, Trump pivoted from that position modestly by saying that he'll be flexible with tariffs next month in comments during a White House briefing on the next generation US military fighter jet. So who knows? The conclusion of the Fed's March meeting was to keep rates unchanged, but there were big cuts in the GDP forecast to just 1.7%, down from 2.1% in the previous meeting, with a slight increase in the unemployment rate up 1/10 to 4.4%. And after the Fed's comment on inflation being transitory again, economists say they expect US Federal Reserve policymakers to extend their policy hold. When uncertainty about growth and inflation increases, the option value of waiting is higher until uncertainty resolves, they said. If uncertainty is driven by policy and compounds into confusion, the option value of waiting is even higher. This applies to business decisions as well as to policymakers. The optimal policy is for the Fed to wait. The University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey for March plunged to 57.9 versus the estimate of 63 and 65.7 a month ago. And yet, inflation expectations in the same survey hit a 32-year high to 4.9%. Stagflation is the word that comes to mind when defining this data, and stagflation is a very difficult condition in which to become bullish about stocks. For the week, the MSCI Global Index was 0.7% higher, but still down nearly 4% from the past month and flat year to date. Compare that to the European Stoxx 600, which was more than 8% up year to date, while the S&P 500 was down 3.64% from the 1st of January, and the ASX 200 is down 2.79%. On Friday, all three US benchmarks rallied strongly in the final 50 minutes of the day, shaking off a weak start when it slid at one stage more than 1% to snap a four-week losing streak. The Dow ended up 0.1% higher, the S&P 500 was up 0.1% too, and the NASDAQ was up 0.5%. Six of the Magnificent Seven ended higher, though Apple's 2% gain and Tesla's 5.3% advance provided the momentum heading into the weekend. The S&P 500 remained stuck into a correction point, though, ending another nervous week 0.5% higher. And meantime, all manner of long dormant investment vehicles are shining again in the glare of Donald Trump's trade war, from leveraged quant portfolios to options hedged products. It's all about trading volatility and risk, with the US on a course to impose its highest average tariff rate since the 1940s, according to Citi strategists. These policies are expected to weigh on the US economy, acting as both a supply shock through higher input costs, and a demand shock by dampening business sentiment and foreign incomes. Bank of America downgrades its growth forecast for the US, Canada, and Mexico, saying the changes seek to capture the impact of the policy uncertainty shock on spending and CapEx in the coming months, as well as a more hawkish tariff stance. FedEx slumped after the package delivery company cut its full-year profit and revenue forecast, citing weakness and uncertainty in the US industrial economy. And Nike slid as the worst performer among the Dow after the sports apparel maker projected sharper decline in fourth quarter revenue than anticipated. Strategists protect the impact of the tariff policies will trim US growth by about 0.5 percentage points and increase inflation by a similar quantum this year. The broader global implications are also significant. Countries with large trade surpluses with the US, including China, the European Union, Mexico, Vietnam, and Japan, could be prime targets for additional reciprocal tariffs. US high yield credit spreads tightened from the previous week's 6-month wides, while the 2-year US Treasury tracked lower again to 3.954%, although the 10-year was slightly higher on Friday at 4.247%. The volatility index was down 2.63% to 1928 on Friday, while the US dollar index was up 0.29% to 104.15. The greenback was buoyed by growing convictions that the Fed will leave interest rates unchanged in the near term amid heightened uncertainty over economic growth and Trump's tariffs. The US dollar was unchanged at 1.0814, and the US dollar-Japanese yen rose 0.36%. Gold futures for April delivery was down 0.59% to $3,021.40 a troy ounce. Gold's fall from record highs were driven chiefly by a recovery in the dollar, which recouped all of its losses seen after Wednesday's Federal Reserve meeting. But silver was down again to $33.486. Elsewhere in commodities trading, crude oil for delivery in May rose 0.29%, while the May Brent oil contract rose 0.18% to trade at $72.11 a barrel. OPEC Plus said that 7 of its member states will cut output to make up for recent production increases, by the way. One of the strongest investment trends this year has been the reallocation of capital out of Wall Street to markets overseas. US stocks have underperformed the rest of the world by around 13 percentage points. Europe has been a particular beneficiary of those flows due to Germany's historic fiscal policy shift that may substantially boost German and Eurozone growth, as Germany's upper house of parliament passed a reform of the country's borrowing rules and a 500 billion euro fund to revamp its infrastructure and to revive Europe's largest economy. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde warned that the immediate outlook is gloomy thanks to the trade fog, and stateside Fed officials Austin Goolsbee and John Williams on Friday both drove home the stagflation warnings that the US Central Bank made earlier in the week. European shares fell alongside other global stock markets on Friday on uncertainty over those trade tensions and also geopolitical conflicts, while travel and leisure stocks were hit after a fire led to the closure of Britain's Heathrow Airport. Britain's Heathrow said flights would resume later after a fire knocked out its power supply and shut Europe's business airport for a day, hitting airline and travel stocks. Shares of British Airways parent IAG fell 1.9%, Lufthansa was down 1.7%, and Ryanair dropped 2.3%. The travel and leisure sector closed 1.6% lower. The pan-European stock 600 index was down 0.6% in a third consecutive session of declines. The European benchmark index closed 0.5% higher on the week, though, after both houses of the German parliament passed reforms for a massive increase in government borrowing, the equivalent of $542 billion, to fund a revival in the economy. However, concerns about weaker growth, higher inflation due to global trade uncertainties and the Russian-Ukraine conflict kept a lid on risk appetite. German-based lubricant suppliers Fuchs dropped 7.2%, with analysts pointing to its 2025 EBIT forecast, which fell slightly short of market expectations. And British stocks closed low on Friday on continued worries about the economic impact of US tariff policy, as well as the shutdown at Heathrow Airport. The blue chip FTSE was down 0.6%, but the mid-cap FTSE 250 declined 0.9%. The UK government debt rose more than expected, which will put pressure on the upcoming budget amidst almost zero growth. The Bank of England held interest rates at 4.5%, but warned against expectations of future cuts due to an uncertain economic outlook. The DAX index in Germany closed 0.8% lower, the CAC 40 in France slipped 0.6%, and the Swiss National Bank cut interest rates by 25 basis points, while Sweden's Riksbank held rates unchanged. Berlin's plans fueled a rally in the euro and eurozone yields, with German 10-year yield reaching 2.938% last week. That's the highest since October 2023, although it's back slightly more recently. Yet economists say the fiscal expansion, formally approved on Friday by the Upper House of Parliament, will not provide a quick fix for the economy this year. Germany's 10-year bond yield could rise to as much as 4% as investors assess the impact of the country's plans for renewed spending, according to analysts at BNP Paribas, as the country issues far more bonds to fund the extra spending. Most Asian stocks moved in a flat to low range on Friday as investors digested the outlook for higher US trade tariffs and interest rates, while Chinese markets pulled back further from a stimulus-driven rally. Japanese markets moved just a little in catch-up trade as mildly stronger than expected consumer inflation data lifted the prospect of more interest rate hikes by the Bank of Japan. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices rose 0.1% and 0.7% respectively on Friday. Trade resumed after a market holiday on Thursday, by the way. Consumer price index inflation data read slightly higher than expected for February, furthering the Bank of Japan's expectations for a virtuous cycle, keeping bets of more rate hikes by the central bank squarely in focus. National CPI grew 3.7% year-on-year in February, cooling slightly from the prior month reading of 4%, according to government data on Friday. Core CPI, which excludes fresh food prices, grew 3% year-over-year compared to expectations of 2.9% and a 3.2% rise seen in January. So while headline inflation did cool from the prior month, a key gauge of underlying inflation, which is watched by the Bank of Japan, rose further above the central bank's 2% annual target. The print came just after the Bank of Japan kept rates unchanged, but signaled that it expected inflation to remain sticky this year. Analysts expect the Bank of Japan to next hike rates in May after a 25 basis point rise in January. Springtime wage negotiations between major Japanese employers and labor unions are expected to yield another year of bumper wage hikes, further underpinning private spending and long-term inflation expectations. Indeed, Japanese companies have committed to a 5.4% wage increase this year. That's according to the latest data from Rengo, the country's largest union umbrella group. The figure released on Friday is slightly less than the initial reading of 5.46% discussed last week, but it's still on track to be the highest wage increase in 34 years. Rengo, which boosts a membership of 7 million, purely releases the outcomes of the heavily monitored wage negotiations. Blue chip companies typically conclude their discussions by the middle of March. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices fell 0.3% and 0.2% respectively, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index sank 0.6%. All three indices were hit with some profit-taking this week after a strong run-up so far this year amid increasing optimism over more stimulus measures in the country. Chinese technology stocks, especially those listed in Hong Kong, benefited greatly from increased interest in China's artificial intelligence capabilities. That saw the Hang Seng hit hard by profit-taking after it soared to an over three-year high this week on the strength of those major tech stocks. Those stocks were the biggest weight on the index on Thursday and Friday. Focus is now on Beijing's plans for more stimulus measures after the government recently outlined measures aimed at boosting private consumption. China's central bank will cut banks' reserve requirements and interest rates at the, quote, appropriate time and strengthen the resilience of its forex market, it said on Friday during a quarterly meeting of its Monetary Policy Committee. The Committee of the People's Bank of China suggested stepping up monetary policy adjustment and control and improving monetary policy to be more forward-looking, targeted, and effective, according to a statement at the bank's quarterly meeting. China held its benchmark lending rate steady for the fifth straight month in March on Thursday, which matched market expectations. Broader Asian markets move little amid a dearth of new cues, while caution over the global economy kept traders to the sidelines. Sentiment towards South Korea was pressurized by anticipation of ruling on the impeached president, which now has been delayed by more than 3 weeks. India's Nifty 50 index, after a recent rebound to five-week highs, was up 4.26% across the week after investor sentiment in India entered the panic zone, driven by persistent foreign selling and a shift of capital towards China. That's according to Bank of America and analysts. In Australia, the share market posted its best weekly gain this year on Friday after supermarket stocks pushed the ASX into positive territory, which offset wider losses. The ASX 200 rose 0.2% to 7,932.10. The index posted a weekly gain for the first time in 4 weeks, up 1.7%. Six of the 11 sectors were higher, led by consumer staples, and the All Ords lifted 0.1%. Traders piled into Woolworths and Coles after the competition regulator published a long-awaited report, which found that they were some of the most profitable supermarket retailers in the world and uncovered little evidence of price gouging. Woolworths rallied 6.3% to $29.93, and Coles was 4.9% higher to $19.46. Mining stocks, though, posted losses after President Donald Trump invoked emergency powers to increase U.S. production of critical minerals, which could include coal, and become less reliant on imports from China. Coal miner Yancoal fell 1.9% to $5.20, and Whitehaven dropped 2.8% to $5.72. South 32 retreated 2.5% to $3.53, and Pilbara Minerals shed 5.1% to $1.85. Iron ore futures in Singapore slipped below $100 a ton. The risk-off mood also sparked profit-taking in the healthcare and technology sectors. Medical imaging software provider ProMedicus fell 6.5% to $223.58, and pharmaceutical giant Sigma Healthcare dipped 1.4% to $2.87. Next DC dropped 1.2% to $13.05. Paladin Energy fell 4% to $6.56 after temporarily closing its Langer Heinrich mine in Namibia, owing to heavy rains impacting access to the site. And Emerald Resources dropped 3.9% to $4 after quarterly output from its gold mine missed its guidance range. Premier Investments added 3.9% to $20.85 after its subsidiary Peter Alexander's sales hit a record $297.7 million in the first half, and the retailer downplayed its 12.5% fall in interim profit, citing the challenging consumer environment. And a rally in Nanosonics lost steam after JP Morgan cut its recommendation on the manufacturer of disinfected devices from neutral to underweight. The stock edged up 0.8% to $5.02, extending its 14% gain in the prior session. Banks recovered a bit with ANZ at $29.30, CBA at $145.60, NAB at $33.18, and Westpac at $30.70. Macquarie was at $200.19. The budget on Tuesday will likely contain a range of sweeteners ahead of the election, including interest-free loans for those in financial distress, more energy relief, and more help to home buyers, but nothing to tackle the structural deficits the country is facing. Income tax is still sucking more from households due to frozen tax bans, and the lipstick will be plastered all over the pig again in the attempt to attract voters. The Aussie was at 62.72 US cents and 48.55 UK pence. Oh dear. Finally, in crypto, while some technical indicators suggest optimism, broader market conditions and macroeconomic factors may shape Bitcoin's price trajectory in the short term. According to Glassnode, futures option interests fell from $57 billion to $37 billion. That's a 35% drop since Bitcoin's all-time high, signaling reduced speculation and hedging activity. This fall reflects the contraction in on-chain liquidity, indicating broader risk-off behavior. The recent downtrend in Bitcoin is attributed to investor risk aversion in an uncertain global environment. The Trump administration's plan to impose tariffs on other countries, which are expected to continue, have contributed to global trade tensions. Institutional investors shifting towards safer assets has also led to a decline in cryptocurrencies, despite many positive developments. However, the decline in tariff-related news since last week did spark a partial recovery in crypto assets. One of the biggest directional factors for the Bitcoin market continues to be the policies of the Federal Reserve. At its most recent meeting, the Fed kept interest rates unchanged, in line with expectations, and projected only a 50 basis point rate cut for 2025. Additionally, the Fed lowered its growth forecast and revised its inflation forecast upwards. This suggests that economic conditions may continue to pose challenges for the crypto market. The Fed's announcement that it will slow the pace of balance sheet contraction starting in April may provide short-term relief to the market, though. However, uncertainty about the rate cut and slowing economic growth continues to be a pressure that factors into riskier assets like Bitcoin in the long term. Nevertheless, positive outlook prevailed in the market following Fed Chair's speech. US President Donald Trump's pro-crypto rhetoric remains one of the positive elements for Bitcoin. The Blockworks Digital Asset Conference he recently attended, Trump declared that the US would become a Bitcoin superpower and aims to be the crypto capital of the world. And he also stated that the long-term value of crypto assets would be protected, noting that the Biden administration had sold them at low values. Despite Trump's statement, Bitcoin fell. This decline is attributed to the fact that Trump didn't announce anything new for the crypto market, and concrete actions have yet to be taken. On the other hand, Ripple CEO Brad Garlinghouse's announcement that the SEC withdrew its appeal against Ripple was seen as an important development for both the market and XRP. Overall, the internal dynamics of Bitcoin and the broader crypto market looks somewhat positive, but global economic uncertainty and geopolitical risks continue to pose significant barriers to a market recovery. Bitcoin was last at $84,530. And in fact, that is a good summation of the broader market. There are so many cross currents here, it's very hard to read where things will go next. So expect more volatility, expect more trading from those who know what they're doing and those who don't. And as a result of that, markets could go pretty much anywhere they want at the moment. But I'm not sure that up to the right is guaranteed, at least in the short term. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.